is on you. The weekend at the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand.
Hi, John's L.A. Clean. Coming off spring break. I just had my spring break, and I just shaved out my beard and got a haircut, and now I see myself on camera and friggin' four chins showing like a big fucking orange on this fucking camera. Fucking peeled orange. Joe Steele back of the show. Welcome, Joe. You got to speak. You got to speak into the microphone.
I'm right here, right here. Can I check 1, 2, 1, 2?
Can I pull you away from your pastrami sandwich for fucking 15 minutes?
You got to bring me away from
ravenous. You didn't get that. You didn't get that in the clinic, huh? They didn't have Subway.
Hell no. That don't work like that.
Yeah, it don't work like that. I saw the way you attacked that. Put that thing on vibrate, huh?
I did.
All right. Well, hey, big week. Spring break, sitting around. I didn't do anything. Fucking getting old. Like, wake up around 9, put it around the house, drink beer, and watch the NFL Network all week. But a huge week in the NFL. Huge week in the NFL. First and foremost, first thing, DeSean Jackson just released flat out by the Eagles. And, of course, the media, ESPN, loves to come right at it. Oh, DeSean Jackson's a member of the Crips. He's a Crip. He's a gang affiliate. And, you know, they don't want the next Aaron Hernandez with DeSean Jackson. Straight up, do you think, from your expert opinion, do you think DeSean Jackson really is a full-blown member of the Crips?
I plead the fifth. I mean, but at the same time, if he is, you know, he did right, and he denied it, as he should. But at the given time, it's a place. It's a time and place for everything.
I don't understand. Maybe it's my naivete, you know, growing up in a freaking town with no McDonald's. How does a kid like DeSean Jackson, why would he even get caught up in something like that? How is it even possible? He graduated from high school in, what, 2004?
I mean, when you're coming up and you ain't got everything that, you know.
It's in Long Beach, right?
And that's the way of going around. You know, certain areas you got to understand that that's just the going rate, and that's the cool thing, especially, you know, like we said before, banging in the 90s as opposed to banging in these thousands is totally different, you know? So, you know, people still see it as the cool thing and somewhere to be a part of, and it's your first actual team that you're involved in when you're coming up.
What I don't get is I don't see how people can get caught up. I think it's going to go away, and for the simple fact, cell phones, because even kids with, you know, they don't have the best parental guidance. Even the worst parents these days have cell phones so they can keep tabs of where the kids are at all times. How do you just, you know, go off the beaten track and wind up in a game? I think it's going to be tougher and tougher thing to do.
Well, you think, man, when parents let their kids go, we let them go for 8 hours out of the day. So, you know, 8 and 8 is 16, and you only got 24. So, you know, they're sleeping for 8, and they're gone for 8. Who has more control over your kids than
the peers?
Right.
The peers or the parents. But that being said, I don't think that's the reason they let them go. I think the reason they let them go, straight up, what they were saying, bad attitude, inconsistent work ethic, this is what they're saying, missed meetings, and a lack of chemistry, quote unquote, with Chip Kelly. Basically, he's a pain in the ass. Basically, everybody in that locker room that's come out and said anything, it's kind of good riddance. And you don't say that about a guy who just had 1,300 yards and an electric playmaker and $7 million against the cap, which is what's going to count against them.
And you can't coach speed. You can't coach a lot of things that he have, and that's what the hood gave him. So, well, you know, when you're running from the police 24/7, you know, you become fast at some point. But, you know, you can't coach certain things, and you know, and he feels that he doesn't need to go. You know, he's not. Now, given if the Eagles would have had a success rate, maybe a championship or something in the DeSean reign, then maybe he would think and be a more of a role model. But right now, I think he doesn't want to be there.
I don't even think he even has to be. You know, I think it was just he wasn't showing up. And you know damn well, and they don't say this on ESPN, but you know damn well DeSean Jackson's fucking smoking weed. You know he's smoking weed. I mean, they can't just come out and say that. But you know he is, and you know that they know he's going to get caught doing something. Maybe scissor, purple drink, something.
Whatever you want, but like.
Yeah, I guess, but no one's paying me again $10 million a year to do anything. Not yet. Anyways, Joe, not yet. It's always the goal, right?
Yeah.
I hope he ends up on the Raiders, though. I think he's going to end up on the Raiders or the Redskins. If Al Davis was still alive, he'd be on the Raiders right now.
Oh, yeah, speed. You know, Al Davis would have got him fast.
Somebody will. And I tell you what, he's going to come with a chip on his shoulder like Steve Smith.
He got something to prove.
And he's going
to
ball.
Yeah,
and
he's going to did ball. Him a favor.
Yeah, they really.
It's a reality check.
Yeah, they did him. Career-wise, it's right. Because when you get comfortable in certain places and you start letting shit, you know.
Right, right.
Then, you know, you start having parties like Michael Vick where you think you can freaking fight dogs and nothing's going to happen to you. But now all of a sudden, it's a little slap in the face. Hey, Deshaun, you're 27. 30's around the corner. You know, how long are you going to be able to do this? Well, hopefully it's a wake-up for the
and
call.
Look what happened to Mike Vick. He got his reality check. He bounced back like a rubber ball.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, I mean, because he's so talented, but he has, I don't know. We'll see. It'd be interesting to see what happens with him and the Jets. Let's talk blue chippers. Let's talk Johnny Manziel. Shit. That was like a freaking rap concert with Johnny Manziel coming out in his camouflage freaking shorts and his helmet and his shoulder pads and just lighting it up. The ball hit the ground one time. Then that whole, it was a thing of beauty. They had him running around there, attacking him with rakes and shit. And I get into arguments with people all the time. People, oh, Manziel's going to be a bust. I mean, no fucking way this guy is going to be a bust. The only thing is he might get hurt. But you could say that about anybody. Mm-hmm. But you can coach out the shit that, oh, he doesn't do it from the pocket. Fuck that. Jerry Rice said, if Houston didn't take him, Jerry Rice said it. You know, he knows a little bit something. If Houston doesn't take him number one, this day it's a grave mistake. I don't know. I would take him.
I would, too. Johnny Manziel is a beast, man. What he did at the pro date was just unexplainable. I mean, he just has everything. He wore his Letterman's jacket at the tryout. He had his full gear, camels on, and he made a speech, and then he came out and backed everything up.
And I don't know if you saw the video that leaked earlier in the week of him dunking. I think it was a 9-foot rim, but if it wasn't a 9-foot rim, for a 5'11 white boy throwing down reverse fucking dunks with ease. He's a freak athlete. He's a freak athlete. And just because he's a white boy, a lot of people look at him and like, you know, he's entitled. He's a rich kid because he is. But the dude is a freak athlete. And if you're Jacksonville and you're Oakland, all you want as a fan is your team to be relevant. You draft that freaking idiot, you're relevant. Right. Immediately. You know, Blake Bortles might have to sit a year. I like Blake Bortles too. Teddy Bridgewater. Johnny Manziel, the games are going to be on Thursday night. The games are going to be on Monday night. He makes your team relevant. You're going to sell more jerseys than any other team in the league just by drafting that guy. It's worth a chance as an owner. Mm-hmm. Man, I wish Al Davis was still alive. He would have freaking drafted Johnny and got Deshaun Jackson and signed Richie Incognito. And then we'd be freaking...
You have an all-star Raider bad boy team again, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's what it's about. Raiders went out. They got him, Maurice Jones-Drew. Uh-huh. Good pickup.
Big ups. Good job, Raiders.
Solid guy. Justin Tuck, solid guy. Brought back Woodson. Brought back Woodley. I don't know if they're going as model of solid citizens. I don't think I like that model of bringing in solid citizens. Be true to who you are.
Right.
You're freaking Raiders, and that's what made you the team that everybody liked back in the 80s. And, you know?
It's like the Pistons back in the day.
Why would you... Just, oh, now we're going to be solid characters. Fuck that. That shit's overrated as well. Mm-hmm. You know, bringing a bunch of solid characters. Yeah, you mean a solid 8-8 team, a solid 9-7 squad. Take a sip of my beer as we go down the list. Ralph Wilson, owner of the Bills, dead, 95 years old. Now Bills, Buffalo fans, as they should be, are in disarray thinking that Buffalo's going to move to L.A. I hope they freaking do. They have no business being in Buffalo. No disrespect to, a little bit of disrespect to Buffalo, because who freaking really cares? It's Buffalo.
Where is Buffalo?
Plus, it's upstate New York. It's way upstate New York.
Where is Buffalo?
It's like 7, maybe 8 hours, I believe, from New York City. Not that far away from Toronto.
And who do you battle with? The Giants? The Jets? You have too much. Come on back to L.A. Come on down.
Back. Come to L.A. But check this out. Ralph Wilson. This is the type of shit that drives me nuts. And I'm going to get a little political here, a little bit economical. See if you can follow me, Joe. In 1960, when Ralph Wilson bought this team, he bought the fucking Bills for $25,000. $25,000. They're worth like $750 million now. You know, it's just the opportunities back then, and I don't want to ramble too much about that. It's just, you can't, 25 grand, that's nothing as an investment for a guy back then. And to see where the league went, you know what I mean? And the league just blew up. And I don't know, good for him. Get him out of Buffalo. Bring him to L.A. The L.A. Bills? Nah. Change the name. We don't need the L.A. Bills. But we need a squad.
I don't know.
Yeah, he would.
That'd be nice.
The L.A. Bills? Yeah. Yeah, I guess it would be. It has a certain ring to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Speaking of ownership, Jim Irsay, we talked upon last week. This is another thing. This is another one that's going to give me an economics speaking. Jim Irsay was pulled over. Had a bunch of pills on him. We talked. Yeah, the owner of the Colts. He had a bunch of pills on him. But here's the thing that fucking got me. He was carrying on his person $29,000 in cash. 29 G's in cash. About a little bit more than half of what I make in a freaking year as a freaking teacher and a coach. Guys carrying around cash. Darren Rovell, one of those ESPN guys, who's actually a really cool Twitter follower. If you ever follow on Twitter, Darren Rovell. He said the equivalent to somebody who makes $50,000 in a year, about what I make, him, Jim Irsay, carrying around 29 grand in his pocket is equivalent to myself carrying around $3.15 in my pocket.
That's an everyday thing. Lunch.
Dude, walking around, you know?
Who has a $29,000 lunch?
You can't spend it, and that's, you know, fuck it. I'll talk about whatever I want. That's economics, you know. That's the thing with these ultra-rich people. Guys like this guy who's worth over $1 billion, they have more money than they can spend. So people bitch about them, you know, the tax, you know, oh, they earned it. First of all, he didn't earn shit. His old man gave it to him.
Right.
Okay, his old man gave him money, and he's lucky that the NFL has turned into this friggin' multi-billion, the biggest thing in America is the NFL, any way you cut it. And now this fool walks around with money that he can't even spend. And what's he going to do? He's going to turn around and give it to probably his kid, who's probably going to run that team in the ground in 30 years as well.
He better not hang around them Crips. Go around them Crips. It's over with.
Jackpot Records, DeSean Jackson. One of the things they said that made, you know, he was a Crip. He's Jackpot Records, JACCPOT, because he didn't want to put the C and the K together. That means...
Crip killer,
right? And he was, and you know, he came back at him pretty cleverly. He was like, "Oh, the domain name was already taken up, so I had to use two C's." Oh, all right, that's cool, DeSean. You know, rolling with the freaking homie who killed a 14-year-old kid, but it don't matter. Kicking ball, look, I'm equal opportunity. Give the ball to the guys who can run. He hasn't been arrested. You know what I mean? He hadn't done shit, but hey, like we talked about, the Eagles did right by him. They don't want him. Get rid of him. Somebody will pay him. And a guy deserves to play, you know? Right to work.
Yeah.
Shit. Right to work, right? Well, you know, fucking, it's like basketball, you know, making these kids go to college. Or, you know, getting in arguments all the time with people. Oh, well, they shouldn't pay college athletes. I don't think they should pay them that much. I think they should pay them a little bit. But they say that what they're getting paid in is a college education. Fuck that shit. These kids aren't scholars.
Right.
Not everybody's a scholar.
Not everybody makes it to the next step neither. So I think you should pay him.
Not anybody wants to sit around and read fucking Dante's Inferno and have a freaking table discussion with a bunch of fucking, you know, privileged freaking kids in college when these kids are just here to ball.
Right.
So let them fucking play. That's the 18 years old. They're fucking men. They could be drafted in the Army. You joined the Army. Oh, how old were you when you joined the Army?
18.
18 years old. They send you over to be fucking killed.
Right.
But they're gonna send
fast.
Like nothing. But they're like, oh, we're going to force this kid to sit around and, you know, talk economics. And fuck that. They don't want to talk economics. They shouldn't be forced to. Nor should they take a seat away from somebody who wants to be there in college. This is fucking quiet. There's another earthquake. Oh, it's the air conditioning. By the way, that earthquake was freaking...
Yeah, it was shocking to me. I actually did the evacuation plan. I went outside and stood by the trucks and stuff, ready to go.
Stood in the middle of the street. Actually, they say not to do that. They say to stay. They say to shelter in place. They say to get under a table and shelter in place.
I'm not getting under no table. Mm-hmm. Something gets to moving, me too.
Yeah, it's a good philosophy to live by. I thought it was kind of cool, you know. I'll tell you what. I'll take a 10-second earthquake over 10 inches of snow any fucking day of the week, dude. It ain't even fucking close. I'm telling you. It ain't even close.
I'll take a 10-second earthquake before any amount of flooding because I can't swim.
Oh, really?
Nah. If it's over 6 feet, I don't go in that pool.
Oh, you can get your head above that. You don't swim at all?
Heck no. I doggy paddle.
Yeah.
In 5-foot water and I'm 6'6".
That'd be funny as hell to watch, man. Next time I'm going to buy a pool, I'm going to push you into it and run like hell.
You coming with me?
Yeah. We're like, yo, I can swim like a freaking fish, guy.
There we go. We're going to be safe.
For about a minute and a half until I start sucking air. Speaking of sucking, how about Mike Williams, receiver for the Dolphins, stabbed in his leg by his own fucking brother. Can you believe that? You didn't see that?
No, I didn't even know about that.
Eric Baylor's brother, his own brother, stabbed in the leg this week. How does it even happen? Mike Williams is a bust, too. There's another guy, you know, he just got talent everywhere, but some of these guys just can't get it together.
Right.
Why? Why can't they get it together, Joe? I'm asking you. What's the problem?
Just wasn't hungry enough, and you know, they got presented with an opportunity too early. You know?
Well, you think so? Why can't these teams... This is another pet peeve of mine. Why can't these teams provide these fucking kids with mentors throughout the organization? Guys who played on those teams, like a big brother program, a mentoring program. Like, look, hey, you play for the Dolphins. All right. I don't know. Just throw a fucking name out there. Dan Marino is going to be your fucking big brother. And you're going to meet with him once a week and check in.
I'm going to tell you right now, shh, don't do that. You just made another reality show.
Yeah, right. I guess
the big brother of the NFL.
Big brother of the NFL. I just don't know why. I don't know why these owners won't do it.
Look, we said it here first. Skid Row Records, Big Brother of the NFL TV show, right there.
Oh no, I know what. None of those draft picks would agree to it. You know
Somebody's
what I mean?
Somebody's gonna do it. That's a reality show. Yeah, they just made a movie out of it.
What?
The draft. You didn't see that?
Yeah, I want to see that. It hasn't come out yet.
It hasn't came out, but that's something similar. You own the one right there.
Yeah, I want to see that, although it has Kevin Costner. I don't like Kevin Costner at all. But we don't want to sit here and talk about Kevin Costner. So in my week of sitting around doing shit all week, this fucking NFL, and I think they should do this with every franchise, but they've been doing the dynasties. We talked about it. They did the Patriots. They did the Steelers. This week was your boys, the Niners.
Thank you.
And I tell you what. Maybe it was just the fact that I was sitting around the house in my freaking underwear drinking beers at noon with nothing else to do. But I gained so much respect for the 49ers. It's an organization I've always respected. But watching all these freaking ducks, and I watched like 6-7 of them. I watched the whole 1988 Super Bowl against the 1989-88 season. No, against the Bengals. Which was a fascinating Super Bowl. The 80s was a fucking different world, man. Mm. Like the halftime show for that game. Was this guy named Elvis Presto, who's like a freaking bad Elvis impersonator, does this bad card trick at this, you know, you just don't, in 3D, brought to you by Coca-Cola. You're going to put your 3D glasses on now. Bob Costas comes on and puts his fucking 3D glasses on, shit. You just don't see shit like that anymore. I digress. The thing I loved about the 49ers, several things. One, you've said this to me before, and I agree with you 100%. It all starts at the top. And the owner of the 49ers, Eddie DeBartolo Jr., first class all the way. Bill Walsh, first class all the way. And they would have little snippets of Bill Walsh giving speeches to the team, which were just great. Just talking about, we're the 49ers. We do everything first class. It's not an organization in the NFL. This is verbatim, sort of. It's not an organization in the NFL that does things better than we do. We expect, he's like, the Rams, one of the things that's great, he's like, the Rams are not the organization we are. They do not have the talent that we do. I just don't think guys talk like that anymore. And they sure as hell don't get up with those Bill Walsh freaking, like, pastel pink freaking shirts he had with these big butterfly collars and big fucking sunglasses. But to me, Bill Walsh has to be one of the top three greatest coaches of all time. And Eddie DeBartolo has to be one of the top three greatest owners of all time. I mean, what they did with that team.
That's when you think about it, they built the franchise and it became
from nothing.
Right, what I think should have been America's favorite team. You know, I don't think Dallas is the American's favorite team, but as they did, if you think like what you saw is the broadcast, how they, you know, started as gentlemen and they wanted to start the franchise with class. You know, that should be what we're built on.
Oh, yeah, right. First-rate organization, because these owners all have fucking more money they know what to do with, like I just talked about. They, you know, I mean, that's not even an issue. It's amazing that they even have a salary cap. Honestly, to me, that seems un-American. Why can't an owner, who are all billionaires, who are all driving around with $29,000 in freaking walking money, why can't they spend whatever the fuck they want on teams? And people say, oh, you know, it's parity. Look at Major League Baseball.
You'll have the Yankees. I was just about to say that.
Well, no, but here's a counterexample. Other teams are winning in Major League Baseball because there's other ways to do it. Look at, they're all rich. There's not one of the owners in Major League Baseball or any other pro sports organization for that matter that have taken out loans and can't afford to pay the salaries. They can all afford to pay the salaries. So let the players make money. Let guys like Richard Sherman be able to make money. He made $500,000 this year. You know what I mean? Let these guys make money. And back then, the salary rules were different, but I know the 49ers were paying people a lot more than any other teams were paying anybody. But they did it the right way. And here's the biggest thing I want to talk about, too, as far as that what I got out of watching those 49er games. They stayed in the same formation almost the whole game. Two running backs, split, not one snap on the shotgun. Both teams, which is kind of weird if you think about that, and seeing how much of the game now is out of shotgun. Mm-hmm. Both the Bengals and the Niners, nothing out of shotgun. Everything under center. Everything split backs. You had guys like Jerry Rice. I told you this earlier, and you looked at me like it was fucking crazy. Jerry Rice in a three-point stance, motioning across the formation. Roger Craig never came off the field, and they threw the ball to him. In that Super Bowl alone, they threw the ball to him like 10 times. What I'm getting at is today's NFL, they do too much substitution. They substitute way too much.
Overanalyzing.
They overanalyze. They overthink because they sit in those fucking offices all day, every day for freaking 18, 20 hours a day, mm-hmm. coming up with these plans, these contingency plans, and they overthink themselves. So a guy like Bill Walsh, This is what we do. This is 49er football. And it's the same offense they ran in 1981, essentially, to where they go to 1995, because it's the same coaching tree. He would just they passed it on.
Right, right.
And they'd run the same shit. Here's my type of playbook. You growing up in this system. You never see split backs anymore. They're running buck sweep, which is a wing tee, essentially, sweep play, two backs with Tom Rathman blocking for Roger Craig, and then vice versa. Roger Craig never coming off the field, throwing a lead block for Tom Rathman. Imagine if you put, if you will, Adrian Peterson and Maurice Jones-Drew in the same backfield and had them block for each other and then threw them the ball out of the backfield and never took them out of the fucking game. You see guys like Adrian Peterson, who could first down, second down, out of the game. They brought in Toby Gow. They bring in their third down back. They bring in their third down scat back. Instead of just keeping a guy on the field who can block, run, catch. Cincinnati in that same game had James Brooks, who's a great running back. Great running back for both the Bengals and the Buccaneers. And Icky Woods, who had a tremendous rookie season. They had both of those guys in the backfield blocking for each other. Play action, catching the ball in the backfield. Wait a minute.
You had it right. You had the backfield.
Tom Rathman is a white boy, but it's amazing to me how the game has evolved, but in a lot of ways, I think it's devolved. I think they've overanalyzed. I think they've overthought themselves. I think they've gotten the board too much, and the game is not the same, and I don't necessarily think it's for the better.
That's what we touched on earlier. I think you're right, but the only thing that has not evolved with other positions, you know, the new Randy Mosses, the new Jimmy Grahams, the new Drew Breeses, the new Tom Brady, the only thing that has not evolved, the only position that has not evolved to make that offense work is a new fullback.
Yeah, they've turned them into slot receivers. They've turned those Jimmy Graham, Aaron Hernandez types into slot receivers, which to me is easier to defend because you see where he is. Does that make sense? He declares himself standing straight up,
right.
6'5" of them, standing straight up in a receiver stance, whereas opposed, and that was one of those little nuances that San Fran, you put those guys in three-point stances as a defender, you're looking around, they disappear. When they go down, you lose track of them.
Can't count for them.
When you snap the ball from under center, the ball disappears. When you put four guys wide and you put them in shotgun, you see the ball come out of the snap, you see the quarterback has it, and you can identify your threats immediately. But when you're playing against those teams that hide people in the backfield and go on a center, the play action game is so much more difficult because you try to read it, and all of a sudden, shit, where is this guy? And he's coming out from, he slips out behind the 6'5" tackle. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Right. But then, too, you got those evolved linebackers. Those over. Them linebackers nowadays are nice.
Better athletes. Of course. You don't see a Matt Millens running around. You don't see those, what's his name there for that? Whatever. But yeah, exactly. You're better athletes. They're freak athletes. But that doesn't mean they can see any better. It doesn't mean they can read any better.
They just fly to the ball.
They fly to the ball. But if you can misdirect them, especially in that split back formation, I don't know. How much do I want to talk about the 49ers? It's kind of making me sick. But I tell you one thing about the 49ers that I really realized, and I put in a week of study for better or worse on this team. They were not lighting people up on the scoreboard. They were holding on the ball with safe passes, and they played great defense. They went out and, first of all, they went out and got Ronnie Lott, who from Rialto, Eisenhower High School.
Big ups.
He friggin' changed the face of that franchise almost overnight. And it's funny, Ronnie Lott is like the poster child for how not to hit people. You know what I mean? If the NFL wants to come up to a thing of highlight reel of
this is unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yeah, unsportsmanlike conduct.
Here's a film on unsportsmanlike conduct today.
Here's how to give yourself a concussion. It's a Ronnie Lott film. And I think, Merlin Olsen and Dick Enberg announcing the Super Bowl, which is classic. I'll take those guys over Joe Buck any day of the week. But Merlin Olsen said during the middle of the game, he said, Ronnie Lott has knocked himself out six times this year. And now when you talk about somebody getting a concussion, it's like, holy shit. Dude, Ronnie Lott's been knocked out six times in one fucking season. Cut his finger off. You heard that story, right? His finger got mangled, so he cut it off so he could play. And then I saw Ronnie Lott. They were talking to him, punch drunk.
Muhammad Ali.
Similar type of thing. Well, Muhammad Ali had Parkinson's, but they don't know for a fact, but they think. But Ronnie Lott was the same way. And then they had Tom Rathman talking about, he's like, I would take people on and I would hit him with the crossbar, my face mask, right in the head. He's talking about that shit. Like, it was a badge of honor. It was the way they did things back then. And just where we are in the NFL and football in general now, is you don't do that. You know what I mean?
It's frowned upon.
But nobody knew. So for them to say that the NFL knew that these guys were getting concussions, and it's just, you got your bell rung. You got your egg scrambled. That's part of the game, kid. Rub some freaking dirt on it, get it back in.
Right. Get a smell of salt.
I don't have any. I know. I freaking showed up without any. Smelling salts. Unreal. Time flying on as the beat goes on. Got to freaking sitting around watching 30 for 30s. How the no fun league. First of all, here's just something I came up with too. Simple answer, right? Okay, allow the NFL to sell advertising on jerseys. Hear me out. And then take every dime they make off selling off jerseys and put it towards healthcare and brain research, concussion research. Every dollar they sell off those advertisements goes directly to building better helmets, giving health care to guys that had played in the league and don't have shit afterward, and brain injury research just by selling advertisements on a jersey. What do you think?
I don't like it.
Why not?
Okay. I got a youngster. He loves Darren McFadden.
Okay.
Big ups Darren McFadden. I can't see. Do we tell Budweiser, Bud Light, that you can't put your name across my son's jersey that he's wearing to school? When you go to advertising, you have to give them a chance. But these are big franchises. Do you give them money for letting my 7-year-old run around with Budweiser across his cheeks?
Yeah. I guess that's a point. It's always about the children, isn't it? okay, well, then don't let Budweiser do it.
So you got to discriminate on who you let advertise.
Look, and I'm sure there'd be a bunch of freaking corporate, you know, businesses looking to put their name. Doesn't necessarily have to be Budweiser, though Budweiser, I'm sure, would be the first one
right to
do it.
And they'll pay whatever amount of money.
Fair point. But I don't know. Always don't let the kid wear the jersey with the freaking Budweiser on it.
So you advertise it on TV, but you can't sell it in jersey sales?
Oh, yeah. Well, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. I mean, look, if they had, so what if they had, like, Google on the back of a 49er jersey, okay? But the point being, every dollar they make, NFL makes on that shit, would go right back to injury research.
The calls is good.
It's an untapped, because look, they're going to do it anyways. They've been talking about this, and I got to talk about the rule change. Fucking anything. Time goes by. The rule changes that went through, but they've been talking about this is going to happen. That, like, the international soccer jerseys, they don't have, well, maybe they do have booze on their jerseys, do they?
Yeah, I think they got, like, what, Modelo?
Do they? Modelo, yeah.
Corona?
Yeah, I don't know, but still, but fucking A, like, they don't see that on the commercials that go off every 2 minutes anyways with the hot chicks on there and shit. You know what I mean? Look, you can always pull the children, the card, and, you know, oh, but the kids, but all right, then don't let them freaking advertise beer. Let them advertise, bring in Ford. So then you'd be mad that your kid, oh, my kid wants to drive a Ford now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think it's a simple solution. And if you're listening, Goodall, I'm sure you are. Again, one of the solutions. All right, let's talk rule changes before this damn clock runs out on us. 6 rule changes passed that we talked about. Extend the uprights to 5 feet. That's a no-brainer. Up to, you know, another 5 feet. That's a no-brainer. I'm surprised they didn't do that freaking 15 years ago. It's amazing they took them so long to put the field goal posts behind the back of the end zone.
All them people that ran into it, you would think you need to move this.
I would think that would be so advantageous for the offense. I've talked about that before, though. Okay, you're going to run right at this post.
A screen play. A pickoff.
Yep, you're going to run right back around it.
Right. You run around that thing like base.
Yeah, imagine it's a little China route. Okay, right. I'm going to line you up inside. You're going to run right at it, and then you're going to loop back around it. And I'm going to hit you on the other side. You think that'd be fucking stealing? You never see that in the old footage, though, do you?
Nah.
They should. All right, they extended the uprights 5 feet, of course. Side of the legs rolled on like the back of the legs. We talked about it last week. I have no idea why wide receivers don't cut corners all the time, but now they have protection on the side of legs. Perfectly fine. Centralized replay. Any idiots for that? Have a bunch of freaking... But that's the job I want to get. How do I... What kind of website do I get on? Monster.com to be like, hey, I want to put my resume in and be one of those guys that sits in the office and watches football all day and be like, nope, that's definitely inbounds.
Right.
Because you know those cats are making $100,000 a year.
Right.
Way more than this freaking jack-off who teaches freaking street hockey to 15-year-olds is making. You know what I mean? I want that job. How do I get that job? I'll freaking dress up and, you know, maybe I'll write a letter to Ergodol. Centralized replay, about damn time. Navarro Bowman rule, loose ball recovery is now passed. That would have helped them out big time last year.
Yeah, we needed that rule. Thank you.
So it helps them, although they got to get there back there first, which we'll see.
We'll be there.
Don't stop the clock on a sack. Again, we talked about this last week. I always thought the clock ran a sack, so I guess I'm a fucking fool. Don't stop the clock in a sack under 2 minutes or whatever it is. And now they're going to enforce the defensive fouls from the previous spot. Fine. The ones that failed, 40-yard kickoff. Thank you. We don't need that shit. I say back to the 20. They talk about how good the kickers have become and the extra points. These kickers are awesome. These kickers never miss. Why can't the kickers fucking... They talk about safety and all that shit, but they talk about a lot of things. But it failed. Thank you. Personal foul replays, fine. And also the Bill Belichick one, permit coaches to challenge any call. I like that. Even though Bill Belichick gets up there in the NFL meetings and he's up, you know, being competitive. Anyways, but here is the counterpoint that I did think was interesting. I never thought about. Jeff Fisher brought this up. If you can challenge any call, and a team scores at the end of the game and you still have your challenge, and a team scores a touchdown to win the game, say it's 45 seconds left, the coach on the losing team, this does make sense, would just throw the challenge flag
just for the hell of
and hope that one of his freaking one of his coaches up in the top is scanning something sees some illegal motion or, you know what I mean, something a little bit askew, a hold, whatever it may be, a high-low chop block, and just, and if they don't get it, oh, okay, our bad, game's over. Lose it.
You're going to lose anyway, so you might as well try to win it somehow.
Right, that's the only argument that made sense to me. Jeff Fisher up on the NFL. Jeff Fisher.
Wasn't Jeff involved in that loss they had at the one-yard line with Eddie George?
That was the same team, but he was clearly down. When the guy reached out the ball for the goal line, he was clearly down on that. Actually, Jeff Fisher was the coach that won the game, that Music City Miracle, in that same year when they did that kickoff return and they threw the ball all the way back across the field. Remember that one on the kickoff return? And it was like right on the line if it was a lateral or not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they won that one anyways. But yeah, Jeff Fisher, been around forever. He looks like a freaking drunken pro at a country club or something. He looked like he was hammered when I was watching him in the NFL. But I like Jeff Fisher, but that was a good point. Let him challenge anything within reason, but people are going to be throwing that shit at the end. Longer PATs, they're going to do it for the first 2 weeks of the preseason. They're going to spot the ball at the 20 and let them kick from there.
That's good.
Yeah,
trial run.
Right, and what it is it's the saying, okay, we're going to do this in the future because nothing's going to happen. They're saying they don't want something to happen, unforeseen. Fair enough. I don't know. I guess it's fine. It makes it a little bit more competitive. So instead of 99%, it turns into 80%. If it makes teams go for two-point conversions more, I guess I'm all for it.
They probably won't make them go for 2 points more because you only got one chance to make it from the 20.
Well, yeah, but where that does really play into December, January, in New England, or any of those cold weather teams that don't play indoors, that wind is swirling, and you know what I mean? It makes you think. That wind can get vicious, kid. And you kick that ball up from the 20, and that'll come right back in your face. Now, you know what I mean? Right. Not from, like, you know, a PAT, boom, they drive it through. Boom, drive it right through. But you back that shit up, and it gets caught up.
I think Detroit had a game last year in a bunch of rain and snow like that.
What happened?
You couldn't see nothing. I think Reggie Bush didn't even. Matter of fact, I'm almost sure because I had Reggie Bush on my fantasy.
Oh, it happens.
Yeah, that kick can get crazy if you got weathered.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you especially, yeah, back it up. Yeah, I'm for it. We'll see what happens with it. Yeah, I don't think it's going to really change the game all that much, but it might make things a little bit more interesting. Nick Saban had an idea, which, again, I don't know why this stuff like this just comes up now. Nick Saban says, why don't they have a combine before the period where the players have to declare for the draft? So they can go to this combine and say, hey, look, I'm thinking about declaring for the draft. Let's go and go through the little combine drills and then be evaluated. And then the powers that be can say, okay, we think you will be drafted. Or they think, hey, you know, you're not going to be drafted. And then let them declare.
I think that'd be good because say they get hurt, like Darren McFadden did in his last year. You know, you want to get looked at.
Yeah, but doesn't it just seem simple?
I think it's good.
And they make money off that shit. Like they make money off anything else. You know, they show it on television and assholes like me sit down and fucking watch that shit because I'd rather watch that than watch a regular season NBA game, even though I'm an NBA fan. I'd rather watch the freaking combine drills. I'd rather watch that than regular season stuff. So why don't they do it before the period? And so a kid can get.
And then they can do some compare and contrast. Like, I did this last year. I should be able to do this now. I gotten better.
And just say, hey, I'm going to stay in school then. Fuck it. But it comes back to the issue of forcing kids to go to school. But it's a simple thing. I don't know. You know, sometimes the answers are the simplest thing. And they, I don't know. Getting back to the boy, Bill Belichick. I gave you the answer. Should have asked you before. One, they have an NFL picture every year of all the head coaches. And it's pretty cool, I think. Because it's a fraternity, and you see guys like Andy Reid look like a drunk, fat tourist in Hawaii dressed in his ring, you know. And then other guys are all dressed up, and they all got their black rim glasses on nowadays and the turtlenecks. Only one coach skipped out on the picture this year. Bill Belichick. It's like the third year in a row he skipped out. And, you know, arrogance. And this is my team, you know what I mean? But I've spoken on that ad nauseum. Jared Allen signs a contract, 4-year deal with the Bears. Ooh. Check this out, though. I thought this was a good one.
The Bears.
This is a good one. Jared Allen signed a 4-year deal. In the last 4 years, he has 50 more tackles, 20 more sacks, and 20 more QB pressures in the last 4 years, and then Julius Peppers.
Jared's a beast, man.
He is.
I watch what he do on spare time. You know this dude, Hunt?
Oh, yeah. So what does that have to do with anything? I was a former hunter.
He's a savage. You just have this knack that I need to be in this place at this time. Precision. He has that already.
Oh, he's a warrior. No doubt about that. He's a warrior. I just thought Julius Peppers was a little bit more comparable.
I don't know.
I guess not.
They both are savage, but.
But Julius Peppers is a freak athlete. I'm not saying Jared Allen. Julius Peppers started for North Carolina Hoops when North Carolina Hoops meant something.
Yeah, well, see, Julius Peppers, you know, of course, we're just natural talent, you know.
Yeah.
But Jared Allen, I like Jared.
Oh, he's a baller. Evidently, 4-year deal with the Bears, though, stupid. Why would he sign with the Bears? Like, the Bears are going to win anything in the next few years.
The Bears.
You just want to say that over?
I like that. I just like the way it sounds.
Chris Culliver, 49 DB. You know anything about this?
Thank you.
He just got arrested this week for a hit and run on a bicyclist.
No, thank you.
And then when he got confronted by the cops... Homie burns out for some freaking brass knuckles to freaking come at the cops.
Hey.
What the fuck, man? Hey, what?
Drake said these drugs got the kids tripping these days.
I guess. Shit. But he's really a nobody. I just thought it was interesting. Well, you know, not that I'm a somebody.
It's relevant.
But, you know, guy in the NFL freaking coming at cops with brass knuckles after you just hit somebody on a bicycle.
When you got money, it works that way.
I guess, yeah. I mean, you get lawyers that works that way. Look at a guy like Marvin Harrison. Pretty much everybody knows he shot and killed someone, but Marvin Harrison hasn't been prosecuted yet. It's like 6 years ago, and he's still running around. I think he's in the Hall of Fame. If not, he will be soon. But, yeah, it's about the lawyers. It's about money. And guys like that, well, I don't know how much money Chris Culliver has, but he's going to go to jail. Know that much.
Nah, he'll get up.
Brandon Spike signing with the Buffalo Bills last week. It's amazing what kind of control the Patriots really do have over guys, because guys like Brandon Spikes, now all of a sudden he's all over Twitter. And I don't know if you saw this week, he pretty much called out Ray Rice. He said, look, I don't know how anybody can respect Ray Rice, which is some bold words for a guy that's going to be lining up against next week. Because I don't know if you knew this. You saw the whole thing with Ray Rice with that video where he dragged his wife.
Yeah, I saw that in the elevator.
He married her. Or he was his fiance at the time. He married her Friday. He was indicted Thursday for third-degree assault, which is supposedly going to carry a 3-to-5-year jail sentence if found guilty. And he married her on Friday.
Conflict of interest.
How so?
It's his wife.
No, now it is.
How could you bring her up on stand to testify against him? You lose your key witness.
What do you mean?
If
they're married, they can't?
You can't bring your... That's a conflict of interest.
Oh, really? A spouse can't be called to...
Well, in this case, look at the surrounding facts. It's his wife now.
Yeah.
And this is who you're... This is after the incident that you proclaimed that is big. She's his husband now. You know? Right. So is she going to testify against him? No.
No. It'll get thrown out.
There you have it.
But it's funny, you know, that video just shows him dragging her out of the elevator. But there's never been any video of him actually striking her.
Right. She might have been
drunk. She might have hammered.
So the conflict of interest is going to roll in. Of course you got, people that say they seen this. But when you see on film, it looks to me like he's helping her. Hey, come on, baby, get
yeah,
up.
Yeah, really.
Are you okay?
Really.
You know?
Yeah, I know, because there's been no other film otherwise, and the TMZs of the world would find that film if there was actually a film of him putting hands on her. But Brandon Spikes, now all of a sudden, he's Mr. Personality. It just shows you how much control, if you will, that the Patriots...
Well, me and my brother, we talked about the Patriots this week.
What about them?
Every time you ask for any more money, you're gone.
No, they just brought back Vince Wilfork.
That's the only person who's made it. Name anybody else, Randy Moss, anybody who's asked for more money?
I don't even
shift out.
They didn't actually. I don't think Randy Moss asked for more money. They traded him in the middle of the year. They traded him at the end
after,
of the year.
After record breaking?
Yeah, I know. I know. They never get the real story on that. Nobody's ever really come up with the real story on what happened. There's been some, you know, murmurs that he was messing up. He was running his mouth or whatever.
And what about Mr. Walker?
Mr. Walker.
West?
Oh, Welker.
Welker.
Yeah, I guess another one I've gone on. I think they should have paid him. I think they should have given him his money. No doubt about that. But they asked him to restructure. Wilfork did, which I was surprised, because supposedly he cleared out his locker and all types of shit. But he restructured, so it's good for them. Look it. I know I talk about the Patriots go out and draft well. They're going to be right there again.
I don't know.
The defense is going
to have to get another young protege quarterback, because Tom Brady is ready. He's ready to leave.
No, he's not. Tom Brady has at least 4 seasons in him. The dude's a
Max.
Freaking square. I'm sure he has all types of chefs and shit. You've seen the way he hangs out with Giselle. I mean, Tom Brady's a stiff, which is good, which is what you want. He's not out rolling with DeSean Jackson, drinking scissor, you know?
Speeding.
Yeah, Tom Brady's not doing anything. He's a square. That's what you want. That's what you want at those positions.
But while you have that square in the helm, you want somebody underneath him.
Well,
Aaron Rodgers to Brett Favre.
Well, they've had Ryan Mallett.
Steve Young to Joe Montana. You need somebody underneath him. And where they got it? Where? Who is it?
Those are rare examples. Ryan Mallett. They said they took
Ryan Mallett, LSU.
Arkansas. He was a 3rd-round draft choice. They rave about him, and I would not be surprised if he gets drafted gets traded on draft day. God damn it, I can't wait for freaking draft day.
Yeah, it's like dangling meat in front of a lion.
And they pushed it back again because ESPN and the NFL Network NFL being what they are, pushed it back again to a Thursday night. But fucking A. They say a lot of things, but I agree with them because I've been following it, and I do follow it because I'm kind of a loser like that. They're saying this is the deepest draft in memory at all positions. There's 10 receivers out there saying they could go out and make a difference right away. There are 5 quarterbacks that can go out and make a difference right away. There are several defensive players that could go out and make a difference right away. I can't wait for it. Can't wait for that. I can't wait for the hockey playoffs. I know you're looking forward to the hockey playoffs.
No. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You ever watch a hockey game in your life?
Man, no.
You can't skate, huh?
I don't do ice skating. It's frozen water. I don't swim.
The only thing you do with water is drink it?
Right. And bathe.
Yeah. What?
And bathe? Yeah.
You take baths? You're a big ass bathtub, your freaking big feet hanging out of them.
Showering too. I can't even fit in a bathtub.
I got a brand new bathtub in a big house that I live in now. Ballin' in Chino, kid. You know, the big freaking bathtub. Florida State is coming off a national championship season. Offensive lineman Ira Denson was hurt this year. Would go into the locker room early before anyone else because he was hurt and he didn't have to go through the whole practice. Stole 2 players' debit cards and went out and ran up like $10,000 or multiple, like $8,000 in charges from his teammates. What the fuck? That's a national championship team right there.
It's a couple things that's kind of questionable on that. How does these players got $8,000 to most the 2 of them? Right.
Good point.
To be ran
on
up.
A debit card, it's not even a credit card.
And then, yeah, and then number 2, what in the hell is wrong with you? Where are you going in your own teammate's locker to go steal some damn credit cards?
How are you going
to
blame the guy who get his card stolen?
No, him, the person who's swiping them. Like,
I know it.
Something's got to be wrong with you.
It's a national championship team. They always talk about character, heart, and scholarship, and sportsmanship. And then, you know, same Jameis Winston. You know, Jameis Winston plays baseball too for Florida State.
The one I can't see.
Yeah, and they got into a bench clearing brawl this week, and he was in the middle of it. You know how baseball is. No, isn't it amazing? Look at these guys who play baseball are obviously great athletes at the high level, and not one of them can throw a damn punch. They all freaking punch like girls, and it was the same thing. Why? I don't get that. But he was out in the middle of it. Oh, fuck. If I have a Jimbo Fisher in Florida State or the agent of Jameis Winston, be like, get your ass. You're freaking going right. to the NFL in 2 years. Fuck Major League Baseball. Right. Fuck minor league baseball. You're not right. doing that. Get him out of there.
And that'll come within, you know, family pressure. It once hearing this here radio station, James, if you, Jameson, if you listening, sit your ass down.
Jameson, James, Jeffrey.
Yeah, whatever you want. Whichever one, Jay, little Jay, Pookie, it, whatever one you is. Sit your ass down.
Heisman Trophy winner, national champion as a freshman. Why are you even fucking with baseball is beyond me. Fucking with freaking bench clearing brawls. Now, if I was...
But in baseball, if you don't get your ass off that bench, it's frowned upon.
Sure. As an NFL, you know, you would like that because he's a leader. He's obviously a leader.
And he's going to be... He's going to take the mustard, he's going to get the brunt of the whole punishment because you are this big athlete that everybody looks at. You,
oh, he's world famous, famous right. Jameis.
So you are going to catch the worst of it all.
Oh, they had the ESPN spotlight on his freaking big ass head, freaking running around, ringing.
So, and he can't see, so I don't know how y'all didn't get him.
Yeah, that's a weird thing, too. I've always thought that was weird with his squinting stuff. There's a guy, though. I have question marks in the way he throws the football. I think he can be good, but I have way more question marks over famous Jameis than I do over Johnny Manziel, I'll tell you that much. Especially with those eyesight thing, dude.
Right. Well, we'll see with Manziel, the only thing that people don't like about Manziel is that he talks it. He displays it. He's not your cliche, I'm gonna be quiet quarterback, let's go through the fundamentals. He's like a receiver, defensive player type. I'm gonna show you what I'm going to do.
He's a big mouth. He's a big right. mouth rich kid.
And that's what you, I mean, when you ball like at his level, you're supposed to at some level. You're supposed to be able to talk.
Fucking A. I got this whole week worth of shit and I freaking touching about a third of it when you got 2 minutes left. Last one. Not funny, not cool at all. Will McCamey, 19-year-old, missed the football in Tennessee, was a running back. He's in his second season at Navy. Just cleared to play. Had brain injuries. Had four. They said 4 to 6. I don't know how they can't come up with a number on that. CAT scans in the last 2 years. Cleared him to play. Went out in spring practice. Died. Now, we talked about this a little bit. We don't have much time. You have a son. A couple sons. You going to let him play full contact football? And if you do, when?
I am going to let him play, but... Like I said, when I was talking to you earlier, it's going to come at a time where he's going to ask me to play. You know, it's going to be something that he wants. And that's what I want to do. You know, like right now, I have him in soccer. But I can't play soccer for nothing.
Why would you? Because it's terrible.
Right. And I'm a basketball football player. And he has a knack and love for football. But he keeps asking me. And I'm going to let him wait a little bit so he can see more what it does. But it's a nervous thing. It's scary.
It is scary. The guy had multiple CAT scans, and the doctor said he was all ready to play. Freaking kid died again.
Again?
No, I mean, the kid had brain problem again because he had passed out before. Mr. Football Tennessee, he didn't even play like his last four games. That's how good he was at Tennessee. Undersized white kid, stuck him at Navy. Poor bastard, freaking died.
R.I.P.
What do you... Fuck. Terrible. And it's only a matter of time when, if and when it's going to happen one of these years, someone's going to die in the NFL game. It's happened before, but it hasn't happened in a long time. Someone's going to die in the middle of a game. Well, to leave on that happy note, you know, hey, maybe it won't happen. Hopefully it won't happen. Not on our watch. Follow us on Twitter at HodYardsLA. I'm the coach. This is Joe Steele. We'll see you, not next week. Next week is WrestleMania. I'm fucking watching WrestleMania next week. I'm not coming in.
I holla.
Yeah, you can go on your own. If you want to, you're more than welcome. I'm watching WrestleMania on my fucking iPad, chilling. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Later.